Greetings to each one this morning in the name of Jesus. It's good to be gathered together here this morning and trust our hearts can continue to be drawn to God and in worship to Him. Also want to express our sympathies and may God bless you, Sister Susanna and the family, in the journey that God has called you to walk on. Things are different. But remember, God is there. God will never ask us to go on a journey that He won't go with us on. So God has spoken again this week in a way that is good for us to think about, that we are not here to stay. We're only passing through, only here for a time. And let's be careful and diligently live our lives in accordance to the Word of God. The message this morning, the title is Conquering Giants in My Life. What is a giant? And I don't know what's the first thing you think about when you think of a giant. Yes, my mind probably went to something that I was taught from a small age about giants, David and Goliath. And we'll look at that story a little bit this morning. It's a story that we've been taught from little up. And it's a story that is just as important for all of us to remember today as it was when we were small. So what is a giant? I looked up the definition. It's a living being of great size. A little bit like Goliath was, that's often what we think about. A person of extraordinary powers. Something unusually large or powerful. Something big. You know, we often think of an actual person. This big person that's in, that we can see. But it can often, and more often than not, can be something in our mind. Something that keeps going round and round in our minds and tends to get bigger and bigger. These are giants that we all face. We don't face a giant as such like David did with Goliath. But we all face giants in life. Things that seem intimidating. Things that are overpowering, insurmountable, invincible. These things that go around in our mind and we just can't see a way out. These are giants. That's what giants do. They intimidate. They bring fear. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you ever face giants in life? I'm sure you have. And the giant that I face is not necessarily the giant that you face. But we all face these things in life that seem insurmountable, these big things in life, these things that are bigger than what we are, things that we don't know what to do with, things that bring fear. And I had thought of just a short list of some giants that we might face today. Problems that seemingly won't go away. We have fear of the future, and we all think of the future sometimes, and it's something we can't control. And so if we let it, it can bring fear. Fear of the future, loneliness, death of a loved one, pride, moral impurity, jealousy, bitterness, discouragement, misunderstandings. So we relate to each other from day to day, and there's misunderstandings that come up sometimes. Broken relationships, shattered dreams, things that I thought God was showing me I should do and seemingly are shattered, giants that we face in life. You know what you're dealing with today. I don't. And yet we all face those big things in life. And it's different for each one of us. But these things tend to paralyze us. Bring fear into our hearts. They're bigger than what we are, out of our control. Things that we don't know what the outcome's going to be like. And that's why it brings fear. We like to be in control. We like to say what's going to happen. But these big things, sometimes they're out of our control. Giants sometimes come by no fault of our own. And if we look at the story in 1 Samuel 17, in the story of Goliath, you know, David and the Israelites here, you could say it wasn't necessarily a fault of their own that Goliath was there. The reason for it was because past generations didn't take care of things the way that they were supposed to. They were supposed to get rid of their enemies. And I guess I didn't really look to see if Goliath was one of those that they were to get rid of, but I think he was. And you know, so the ones here could have said, well, it's not our fault, but yet we have to deal with it. And we have those things in life that we need to deal with. And first of all is the Adamic nature that we all deal with, that sin nature that has come to us because of Adam. It wasn't our fault, was it? And yet that was passed on because of the first sin of Adam and Eve. We didn't choose what for family we were born into. Does that affect us? Certainly does. If only Dad would have been different. If only my grandfather would have been different. You know, then life would be so much easier. And did you ever go there? We were all born into imperfect families. None of us are perfect. My children can say that about me. And past generations, you know, we have been born into imperfect families. And we have been impacted because of that. Those can be things that we need to work through. They can be giants that are in our life. Situations of abuse, sometimes by a person, no fault of their own. Things they need to deal with, a giant that they have to deal with. We didn't choose when a loved one would be taken from our midst. Again, a giant that we might face. And I often think of Job when I think of someone passing on. You know, we think of Job, and he lost all his children, and his wife told him to curse God and die. He lost all his material possessions in a short period of time. Do you think that was a giant he had to deal with? I'm sure it was. I'm sure it wasn't easy. It was something that felt out of control, something that he couldn't, that he had a hard time of coming to grips with. The reality was he was caught up in the midst of a contest between God and the devil. And we read that in the first part of Job, and Job didn't realize this, I don't think. You know, we understand some of that looking back. But can you imagine the difficulty that Job went through in some of these things? But Job came to rest in the sovereignty of God, that all things are under God's control, and nothing happens without his direction or permission. And that's important for us to think about and to realize that God is sovereign. Yes, there's giants that come into our lives that we have that we couldn't control, things that affect our lives that we have to deal with because of our parents, because of the family we were born into, because of, the list could go on and on. But God is sovereign, and he allows things to come into our life, but it's not without his direction or permission, and he has promised to go with us. Very important for us to remember. We will not always understand things. They're bigger than what we are. And yet that's what makes them giants. And we all need to deal with that in one way or another. And again, it's different for everyone. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 17. I'd like to read some of the passage here, David and Goliath. and take some points from here of helping us to deal with those giants that we face in life, and we're all sure to face in one way or another sometime in life. 1 Samuel 17, I think we'll start in verse 4 and read to verse 7. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass upon his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. We'll stop reading there for a little bit. Now this giant, he was huge. Says he was 6 cubits in a span. And if you calculate that like a lot of people do as a cubit being 18 inches, that's over 9.5 feet tall. And you know how tall that is? And I brought a tape measure along and see what for a big man this was, 9.5 feet. And you children, can you imagine somebody this tall? That's 8 feet. Up there's 9 feet. It's a little bit taller than that yet. It's way above, it's probably up about there. Can you imagine a big man like that? He was big. He was tall. And I don't know how much he weighed, but there was some calculations already that he may have been 500 to 600 pounds. It's a big man. And can you imagine meeting someone like that? I mean, he'd run into you, he'd lay you flat. Not only that, but he had a coat of armor on him. And this coat weighed approximately 150 pounds or more. And this was a coat of brass. It was made up of like fish scales. Pieces of brass laid one over the other, and it allowed him to move. So it was kind of like, if you can imagine how fish scales are. That was his coat, big, heavy coat, 150 pounds. Can you imagine? But this was a big man. It says the tip of his spear weighed approximately 15 pounds. And I'm not sure how far his, or how big his spear was. But can you imagine a weight of 15 pounds way out 6-7 feet? And it says the whole spear was like a weaver's beam, or something that an ordinary person really had a hard time carrying. And this was just his spear. And then he had someone going before him with a shield. So this was really somebody big. This huge muscular warrior, complete with armor from head to toe. And he was challenging someone to come fight with him. What do you think you would do if you'd see someone that big? I had thought of having one of these inflatable men here. You could see the size, but that wouldn't give a true picture either. They're often waving and smiling, but this man was a warrior. He was out to kill. He was hating people. And here he was coming out every day for 40 days, it says, and telling someone to come fight with him. So I want you to have that picture of in your mind of this big person. And he really was. And think about what went through David's mind as he was saying he will go fight with him. And think about that a little bit also as we think about the giants in our lives, these big things in our life that we're really no match for. Of ourselves. The Israelites were scared. I mean, there was really no way on their own that they could go fight this huge man. I mean, before they could even get close to him, his spear would have probably taken him out. And as he came out day in and day out, I think that fear grew and grew. And that's often how it is, and even in our own lives, as we let fear take hold of us, it keeps getting worse and worse. Now let's read on in some of this story. Verse 8 through 11. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now, if you go with me to verse 32, we'll read verse 32 to 51. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. Now in the next verses, just try to imagine this scene, this monster of a man. And David, it doesn't say his size, but he was young. I can only imagine the air was electrified. What's going to happen here? 42, and when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistines said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Wow, what a story. It's a story that is always intriguing, no matter what our age is. Was David just a regular human being, or was he some supernatural person, different than what we are? Was the God that brought victory to David the same God that we have today? Absolutely. Absolutely. David was just a human being, just like we are. But his power was in God, and that God is the same God that we can have the privilege of serving today, and the same God that will help us with the giants that we face. I'd like to look at 5 points from this passage that can help us face our giants and that we can have the same outcome that David did. And I'll have to go over these quickly, and I'm sure there's more than 5 points. There's many points, but these are some that inspired me. The first one, number one, is know the truth. Giants bring all kinds of untruth to us. A lot of things into our mind make us think things that are not true. And here Goliath in verse 9 said, you know, we'll be your servants. That was an untruth. They all fled. The rest of the army fled. They weren't going to be their servants. It was an untruth. We might deal with the giant of bad habits. And that giant says, oh, you'll feel so much better if you indulge just one more time. That giant is bringing lies to you. The giant of discouragement might say, it's not worth it. I can't do it. There's no way. The giant of loneliness. Nobody cares about me. If God still cares about me, why did he take my loved one? It's a giant that some of us need to deal with. What do we do with that? How do we know the truth? Well, the truth is found in going to the Word of God. Go to the Word of God. That's the only way, that is the sure way to find truth. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. John 8:31-32, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What does the standard of truth say about each of these giants? These giants that are trying to speak lies into our life. What does the Word of God have to say about that? Immerse yourself in the Word of God. Something that is very important when we face these giants. To immerse ourselves in the Word of God. It helps us to know the truth, and it also helps us to get our minds off of ourselves. Let's get our minds into the Word of God. Number two, face the giant and be willing to call it what it is. If we look at David, verse 10, he talks about this giant that was defying the armies of the living God. It was someone that was against God. David recognized that this giant was not of the camp of Israel. It was an enemy of God. In several verses, 26 and 36, he talks about this uncircumcised Philistine, someone that was against the Israelites, of a different camp, God's enemy, against God's people. And these giants that we face, we need to call them what they are, against what God wants, their sin. for some of these things. Their sin, their lack of trust and commitment to God, and that is sin. God doesn't want us to live in fear. Revelation 21 verse 8 says, "But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and idolaters, all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." The fearful, I think, is talking about those that aren't willing to go all the way with God because they're scared of what other people might say or do. Fear paralyzes. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And you know, as fear takes hold of our lives, we, after a while, we can't even think straight anymore. So it's very important that we don't live in fear. God is the one that helps us to think clearly. Number three, remember past moments. God moments in our life. And David did that in verses 34 through 37. He talked about how God helped him with the lion and the bear. And we can probably all look back moments in our life when we can say that God really helped me through that. Maybe it's sometime when we did something really stupid, if you want to call it that way. And looking back, it's like, that was really dumb. I could have been killed. Or the list could go on. You know, something that we can say that God really watched over me in that time. Or maybe another time when God specifically answered a prayer. That you specifically prayed about something and God heard it and answered. Those are special God moments, as I like to call them. And it is important that we think about that. Bring those to remembrance. We can't live in the past, but we can. Those things that happen in the past can be an encouragement for us for the future battles that we face. Number four, remember that the battle is the Lord's. And this is very important. Where is our focus? So often we think about that big giant that is in our life. Or for David, that big giant that was ready to kill him. Let's not focus on that big giant, but let's focus on our big God. God is so much bigger. And if we take things in perspective, if we think about God and his greatness and what all he can do, all of a sudden that giant just kind of shrivels up a bit. So let's focus on our big God, not on the big giant. You know, we like to look at statistics, and sometimes that's good, but sometimes they're not always accurate. You know, if you look at this story of David and Goliath, if you look at it statistically, what chance did he have of coming out of that alive? Very little, really. From a human standpoint, statistics would say he had basically no chance to come out alive fighting with this huge, monstrous man. But statistics don't always take into consideration the God that we serve. That's the difference. David focused on God. He focused on him for his help and for his glory. And he talks about that in verses 45 to 47. So often we, in our prayers, we come to God and tell God about this big thing we're facing in our life. And I think that's important that we come to God with that. But don't just keep talking about this big thing in our life. We need to start telling the giant how big our God is. That needs to be our focus. And that change of focus changes perspectives a lot. What do we think about more? All the giants that we're facing, thinking about life's not fair, I can't do it. I have so many things to do today. Does that sound familiar? Those things that go on in our heads sometimes. Oh, I'm just dreading tomorrow. I can't handle what's ahead of me. Giants, you name what's facing to what you're facing. Or do we think more about our big God and that we have the privilege of serving Him? And as we go to our big God and bring these so-called giants that we face before Him and ask Him for His power and His strength, His direction, again, it changes things a lot. That perspective changes. It may not change the present situation, and oftentimes it doesn't, but it changes our perspective and how we look at things. Point number 5, be willing to go all the way with the giant. Verse 51, David went all the way. He made sure that giant was dead. And let's be sure that as we face these giants, that we take wholehearted approach to getting rid of these giants that we face. So often our approach might be half-hearted. We become friends with our giants sometimes. We allow them room in our mind, and they roll around in there, and we think about them. We kind of enjoy wallowing in the mud. Some of these giants of say pride, and the list could go on and on, of bad habits, wrong thinking. You know, we know they're not right. They're a giant there, and yet we allow them to room in our mind, and we wallow in the mud like that. Let's get rid of these giants. Make sure they're gone. We must take the battle all the way to completion. You know, as long as we're in this earth, we will face giants. That's just the reality of life. But there's victory available in the name of the Lord. God allows giants to come into our life so that we can grow in our character and our faith in Him. In closing, I'd like to read a few verses yet that can give hope and courage to each one of us as we face our giants. And I realize there's a lot of things that we could have talked about here, yet that we didn't have time for. But you know your giant. You know what you're facing. Remember, there's a God that cares. There's a God that is there to help you. The battle is the Lord's. And if we're willing to give our battles to Him, He will. We can be assured of success. Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. What promises that we can hold on to, no matter what for giant we're facing today. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. We need to focus on the eternal, the future, the glorious future. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. This is the testimony of Paul when he besought God to take that giant away from him that he was facing, this difficulty that he had. And the Lord said unto him, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of God may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Did his situation change? No. But his perspective changed. He was thinking about God and God being glorified through his life. Philippians 4, 12 and 13. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And I'd like to leave you with that verse, that promise. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The battle is the Lord's. And no matter what you're facing, no matter what for giant you're facing, with God's help, we can be victorious. He has promised us victory. The God that we serve today is the same God that David was serving. Yes, giants may not be taken out of our lives, but we can be victorious with God's help. Let's kneel for prayer.